Welcome to episode 97 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, where we've virtually reached episode 100. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And we are joined once again by technology insider Eric. Hello, sir.
How's it going, guys?
I'm sure it's going better now that we've made you a technology insider.
I was going to say, this is like the Daily Show where they always have like a senior analyst for every topic and it's just the same person every time.
You are our senior analyst in this instance. Anyway, tonight we'll be contemplating the reality-altering possibilities of upcoming VR technologies, at least as they will hopefully soon exist in the consumer space, the space which all of us occupy. But before we get into tonight's topic, let's kick things off in our usual Nerd Stravaganza style with our Geekly Weekly, Weekly Geekly virtual update. Brian, what virtual reality experiences have you had this week?
You know what? I actually did have a completely not reality experience. I spent 3 days at MegaCon, and that has just nothing to do with reality whatsoever.
Nice. So it takes place in the real world, but it's a world unto itself.
Yeah, I think once you get off the shuttle that near the convention center, you know, you're good for the rest of the weekend.
Awesome.
I don't even know how to begin doing justice to every cool thing that I saw. every costume imaginable. Some really killer ones, too. There were, like, 9-foot-tall space marines from Warhammer 40K. All kinds of... I actually saw someone cosplaying Smaug. I was going to say all kinds of Lord of the Rings stuff, but someone actually cosplayed Smaug. Or Smaug.
Wow. I was going to say, we had that debate the last time I was on pronunciation. I'm picturing two people like in a horse costume.
It was really well done. It was actually like almost one of those R2-D2 dresses where they just like, you know, make a dress kind of like R2-D2 themed.
Right.
This person had like a, you know, like almost like a ball gown that was Smaug themed. And when she lifted her arms, there was like, you know, wings and... It was really killer. I got a picture I'll have to dig up. Tons of amazing artists. MegaCon is by far my favorite convention. I've been thinking about it, I guess, for 48 hours since the drive home. And the only thing that I can say negative about MegaCon is really about the fans. Some people are amazing, but Jesus Christ, if I saw one Deadpool, I saw 100 Deadpools. That's the worst thing I can say about MegaCon.
I believe the plural of Deadpool is Deadspool, just for the record.
Ah. I saw too damn many of them.
I thought it was just Deadpool was Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool was. But if there's more than one Deadpool, you have Deadspool.
I thought it was multiple Deadpool.
Oh,
like deer.
Right. Like several schools of fish forms a school. Wait.
No, it's... Well, do I have to get into the grammar aspect that...
No.
That fish and fishes are both correct, depending on the context?
This is the place to do it.
That's true. But first, let me just point out that, for the listeners, that was a joke. I happen to know that several schools of fish form a fish district. I'm not stupid.
That's true.
I saw a lot of Deadpoolses.
Okay, many Deadpools. We're way off track. Does that conclude your update?
Yeah, pretty much. MegaCon, 3 days. I don't remember anything before or after.
All right, before I go, what about you, Eric? What have you been up to in the virtual world or the real world?
I'm going to be honest. This week has been a complete and very odd total break from video gaming for me altogether. And I think it's been based around my dilemma of whether or not to really make the investment into next-gen consoles, which I still haven't done. And I know the last time I was on here, I was singing the praises of Titanfall, dying to play it. But there's something in my brain that knows that that's literally the only thing to play on either of these consoles right now that I care about. So making these kind of investments for what's essentially, and from what people have called half a game, because there is no story base to it, I spent most of my nerd gaming week wondering whether or not to buy gaming stuff and not actually gaming at all.
Mm.
We went and saw the Muppet movie. That was nice. And on that take, by the way, the Muppet movie, if you haven't seen the new one, The Muppets Most Wanted, go see it, especially if you liked the last one. This one is significantly funnier. As much as I chuckled at the first one, I found myself kind of laugh out loud, like, you know, really laughing at this one. So it was definitely worth seeing the new Muppets. Big Muppet fan, always will be. And lastly, I've re-entered the world of online dating, and I bring this up because this used to be something I think that was exclusively nerdy, and that is not even remotely the case anymore. To be honest, it's kind of hard to find another nerd on there. And I've been a little shocked at that, but not entirely surprised.
Do you want to pitch a site?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not willing whatsoever to invest in any of these. So I actually have tried a few. OkCupid is kind of the standard one that it seems like everyone is on. It has a nice interface, that kind of thing, so it's kind of easy to find people. The searching kind of sucks unless you're willing to really invest and pay for it, which I'm not willing to do. But it's okay. Plenty of Fish, which seems like it's the one that really most people kind of go to, is a technological disaster. I've never been more wrongly matched up with people on anything ever, anywhere. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you could include career. It would be the equivalent of, like, me going to teach and them saying, like, oh, we're going to obviously have you team teach today with this librarian and this fire juggler. And you go, okay. So it feels like that. It's just completely nonsensical. I don't know what they use. The interface is garbage, yet everyone loves it. So I've given up on that one, like, after, like, 2 days. I was like, no, this is stupid. Gone. And then the strangest one, and the one I thought would be the dumbest, but has actually kind of turned out the best, is Tinder. And the reason I say I thought it was going to be awful, and it kind of is awful, don't get me wrong. All of these are a human cesspool. Please don't mistake that whatsoever. The reason why I've liked it is, or why I thought it would be a cesspool, let's start there, is that you really are just basing your like or dislike of the person on a photograph. So you see a photograph of a hot girl holding a wine glass and you go, I hate that she feels the need to inject alcohol into this one picture that's supposed to define her. No, I don't want to meet her. Even if she's hot, that's how my brain works. I'm like, really, that's how you're going to define yourself? Like, I like to drink, damn it. Okay, next. And I found myself being hypercritical of everyone on there. And then I changed my method. I changed my method to this. I just said, you know what? I'm going to like everybody. Because you don't get matched up unless that person likes you back. So I totally changed the game. I made the game, I'm going to see who likes me, and then I will pick from that cesspool. So I liked everyone, waited to see who liked me back, got matched up with, and then picked and chose who to talk to from there. Now here's the part. I literally chose one person to talk to, and it's been awesome. I think you either have to be crazy picky, or you have to be the kind of person who just wants to basically hump everything that kind of, you know, walks into your field of vision. One or the other.
So you, in short, have gamified online dating.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. Like, I figured out how to kind of work the system, how to game it. Yeah.
So really, your gaming week has, you've been gaming, you've just been like gaming women
But I saw this game as kind of a Flappy Birds, where there was no real winning the game, and it was just kind of a struggle until you got to your death. And I don't know if I was necessarily right on that yet. I may have been wrong.
You haven't met this bird yet. You don't know if she's Flappy.
Right. I mean, I hope she's Flappy. Flappy sounds like, you know, spunky, good personality, kind of happy. So we're hoping for Flappy.
Well, then. I think that's a pretty appropriate roundup. You've spent time in the virtual dating arena, and you've met with some success. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, you're congratulating me on, it's, you know, kind of like, again, you're congratulating the winner in, like, the World's Ugliest Man contest or something like that, like, where it's like, I don't know if I'm happy about winning that.
Just invite me to the wedding. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, fair enough.
Does that conclude your update, sir?
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Brings it around to me. I probably should be doing more online dating, but I've been spending almost all of my time playing Titanfall, and I'm trying my best to hit level 50 before the achievement cutoff. and I thought I was doing fairly well until I realized that in Titanfall, which I totally disagree is half a game, what an obscene sentiment, I realized that once you hit level 50, all you do is move up a tier, or it's called a lifetime or something like that. And, oh gosh, what's it actually called?
I don't know, but there's these little flags you get for doing it.
Yeah, every time you hit 50, you get a little flag, and you move up some kind of a nerd tier. And I'm not kidding you, I'm playing with people with sixes and sevens, which means they've leveled up to 50 like six or seven times. They've played that obsessively since the game came out. And I thought I was putting a lot of time into it. These people are out of control. A couple of friends and I got in a match the other day with about, where probably five out of the six players on the opposing team were of that sort of multiple flag caliber, with predictable results. It was just not fun. They were way too good. So Titanfall has been very rewarding. Apart from that, did a little bit of playing of Infamous Second Son on the PS4. Beautiful game, fun game from what I saw of it. And playing a little more Rise earlier tonight, basically because Titanfall was offline. So that's it. Some just straight up video gaming. No game and chicks online. Have to get some tips from Eric about that. But that pretty much concludes my update. And I guess primes us for tonight's topic! Which is virtual reality. Now, we're not talking about Ready Player One or going into virtual worlds in the same vein of, say, Lawnmower Man. We're not taking a trip into the imagination this time, if I can borrow that from the Cosmos show. Which I should have mentioned I watched again this week and was excellent.
By the way, I have to jump in with this because I kind of nerded out earlier. I rewatched Cosmos and then felt the need to go online to justify my finding, and I found it, and it turned out to be right, and it made me that much more giddy about it. You know the intro where you see kind of like it's a nebula or something on the screen, and then you see the letters C and S pop up that expand to make the word Cosmos?
Yeah.
I didn't realize until today, maybe I'm the last one to the party, why it does that.
Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But did you know that before, or you just figured that out because I'm kind of pushing in that direction?
Just because you said CS, I was like, oh, obviously, Carl Sagan. Nice. Yes. Brilliant. So, yeah, Cosmos is awesome, and it is. We will not, unfortunately, be taking we don't have a ship of the imagination as Neil deGrasse Tyson has to take us anywhere we want. We will therefore stay grounded in the here and now with gaming peripherals that promise to take us into the virtual world of the imagination. What motivated tonight's episode was the Sony Project Morpheus announcement, where they're basically going to do their own VR, I'll call it gimmick, for the PlayStation. And that got me excited when I heard about it, because when I was at PAX last year, I did get a couple of minutes with the Oculus Rift, which is a set of hardware being released for PCs. And if I'm going to put my crystal ball on, maybe for a competing console, depending on how that works out. And Eric, I know you've got some hot news about the Oculus Rift, but before we get into that, I want to get Brian's point of view. Now, Brian took the plunge on the PlayStation and I believe has enjoyed it so far. I want to know, Brian, does the announcement of the Project Morpheus virtual reality headset make you happy to own a PS4? Happy or less happy? Wait and see? Excited?
Kind of philosophically happier. I probably won't buy one. It doesn't necessarily interest me so much, but I'm glad that the company is kind of taking that step. I'm glad they're not just releasing like shitty 3D goggles or something like that. Like,
right, right.
Which was their like original plan.
Right.
I think it has the potential to be transformative. I think it has the potential to really electrify, as I mentioned in last week's episode, control schemes like the PlayStation Move. As a both console owner, I am excited. And Eric, does it in any way affect your decision? I know you were leaning heavily towards Xbox One. Does the Project Morpheus announcement for PlayStation make you sway a little more towards Sony? Not at all?
I think it's too far off for it to be any part or aspect of a decision. I think you got to, like, when you buy a console, you're playing it for, or buying it for whatever there is to play at the moment. You know, I'm the kind of person where inevitably I'm going to own all three. And I said three when you said two, because I do already own Nintendo's Disaster. And I have to include it. It's technically their competing next-gen system. Well, let me rephrase it. It's their next-gen system. It's not competing at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I'm excited about, because I've kind of always had this kind of peak interest in virtual reality, and it seems like the theme for a while now has been all about, like, immersion. How do we more immerse the player in the game experience? I remember Microsoft kind of showed off this thing where it projected, like, scenery into your room to make it feel like you were more in the game.
Illuma Room!
Yes. Yeah, the Illuma Room. I don't know what if that'll ever be any kind of reality, but I think if the headset comes into play, you don't need to do any of that kind of nonsense. So that seems, and it's 10 times more immersive, so why wouldn't you go that route? But my excitement actually started, and I don't want to say like the movie Lawnmower Man or something, because that movie's just terrible. But I remember very specifically going to college in Orlando in 94. And, you know, most of the people went and hung out down on Church Street, and there was a little place that, like, showed off virtual reality technology. And for, like, $15 to $20, which I guess was a little bit more money back then, especially since I was, like, a first-year college student, you could go in there, and for, like, 20 minutes, they put the headset on you, they put gloves on you, and you sat in there, and you got to, like, fiddle with a box. Like, you stood in a room, and there was a cube on the table, and you could manipulate the cube, and that was really the extent of it, aside from turning around and looking like you were in the room when you moved your head, even though the graphically it was a Dire Straits video.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it really was. So there was that. But I loved it. Like, I absolutely loved it. I believed at that time that this was definitely the future that it was going to. Then I saw Lawnmower Man, and I was like, if this is the future they're aiming for, then maybe this is a bad idea. Like, I don't want to hack into computers by walking down virtual tunnels and spinning virtual balls and just having the computer yell at me over all the time like it's dungeon crawling to hack into the CIA or something like that yet. Like, that's not the virtual reality we're all hoping for. And then it kind of died. It completely and utterly died. So when I first saw just the first, like, ideas of, or show off of Oculus Rift at a CES, and I watched that on, like, Spike TV went from the CES, I was excited. I was like, oh, someone's actually going that approach again. And then I saw it pick up steam, and I saw all these tech sites talking about it, and more companies were kind of experimenting with it. Valve and Steam were experimenting with it. It was exciting. So I am actually excited for it. I am looking forward to it. I love the idea of being completely immersed in the world. I think it has a ways to go in the sense of, like, you know, they still don't have any way for your hand to kind of manipulate stuff. Everything I've seen is still, like, someone with a headset on and then a controller and a keyboard in hand or some other manipulative, but not, like, the glove where you actually see your own hand in front of you or something like that.
Sure.
So I don't know where that's really my concern is, what's the control scheme going to be like, not just what do I see?
I think it's going to be a largely visual experience until what we learned from the excellent book Ready Player One will be called tactile feedback gloves come to the fore. Is that what they were called, Brian? Tactile feedback gloves?
Yes. All I remember is haptic now. I think so.
Yes, you're right. It's haptic. Sorry, not tactile. Yeah. Haptic feedback gloves. So, yeah, they're going to obviously have... So, yes, obviously you're going to need something that can resist you as you interact with these virtual items in a world in order for that to be a convincing experience. But I think a pretty compelling audiovisual experience can be had before too long. So you're excited about the technology in general, Eric.
I'm excited about the technology in general. And, you know, you asked whether or not this would sway my purchasing decision between a PS4 and an Xbox One. Two things. One, like I said, it's too far off. But the second one was, my assumption was that Microsoft was going to do something to compete. There have been rumors that they're working on their own headset or that they're in talks with companies who build it. So that rumor is what led me to my thought, which was, oh, they're definitely going to go after Oculus now. They're Microsoft. They're going to make a bid. They're going to purchase Oculus. They're going to rebrand it as their own and call it a day. In fact, they probably wouldn't even have to rebrand it because Oculus has kind of made a name for itself already. And then the news came out this morning, and I don't know if you guys have heard that news, that someone, in fact, has purchased the Oculus Rift. And
oh.
I could not be more astounded by who it was. It was not Microsoft, and I remember there being mention of Amazon. It was not Amazon. I'm going to build up the tension here, because even saying it is like mind-blowing when you hear what company bought it.
Okay. Can we guess, or are you just going to tell us?
Do you want to do a couple guesses? We can do a couple guesses. Let's see where this goes.
Okay, all right. Brian, you guess first. I don't want to guess first. You guess first.
Sony.
It was not Sony. Although that would have been an awesome move on their part.
And I'm hoping against hope it's another company, so I'll just say the one that I'm sure it's not, because that would be too obvious, Microsoft.
And it was not Microsoft.
Oh my gosh, that only leaves, Brian.
Nintendo?
It was not Nintendo.
Oh, wait. Okay. In that case, I've got it. It absolutely 100% has to be Atari.
That would have been amazing, actually, because then we'd be back to the Dire Straits video.
Okay. No, don't tell us yet.
Audience,
we are legitimately guessing. I have not read this article. Neither has Brian. I have another guess, but it's your turn, Brian. Who do you think?
Steam left. Well, Valve, I guess.
No, that's not Valve, although they are also working on their own, apparently.
Okay. Here it comes. Get ready for the SmackDown. Although I have one more guess after this one. Disney.
Not Disney. Although with everything Disney has been buying up, that's actually a pretty good guess.
Christ, Sega?
No, not Sega. And okay. See, this is exactly the mindset. This is why I know it's so shocking. And I'll explain why when you hear it. Why I know for a fact why you're picking what you're picking, and that's why I figured it would be so hard to get to the answer.
Here comes the nuclear explosion. Here it comes. About to drop the bomb. Apple.
I kind of would have liked that in a weird way, but no, it wasn't Apple.
All right, Brian.
And that's not from Apple fanboyism. It's just I would like to see Apple get in the game a little bit more. Literally in the game.
I seriously have no clue.
Okay, all right. I'll do a rapid-fire succession of guesses, and then we'll just give up and you could tell us, because the audience probably already read the article and they're mad. Yes. Tesla.
No.
Google.
No.
Yahoo.
No.
NASA.
Nope, that would have been neat, though, but no.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, no, no, no.
Man, give me a hint. Like, no, don't give me a hint, because that'll make it less magical. All right, final guess. Who would buy a virtual reality headset company and why? It's got to be some entertainment conglomerate. It's got to be a video game company. It's got to be... Oh, I don't know. I just can't take a guess.
It's got to be Facebook.
What?
It was Facebook for $2 billion.
Well, stop. Okay, hold on. Stop. I kind of wish I'd read this article beforehand. Facebook paid $2 billion with a B.
Yes.
To buy Oculus Rift.
Also, yes.
Wow.
The internet is melting down over this. Well, at least the nerd internet community is completely melting down. From my understanding, no one is happy about this.
Huh.
And I think I'm like the only voice that after my initial, for back of letter words, what the fuck moment, kind of sat down, calmed down, thought about it, and don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Let's get back to you on that now that we have your general sentiments. Brian, what are your thoughts?
You know, I use Facebook, obviously, but as a company, I'm really not a fan. This immediately makes me less excited about the technology that I was just glowing about.
I have to concur with Brian on this one. I think my initial reaction is, what a waste. That technology could have been put to good use.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction, too, and I'll tell you why I changed my mind. Not changed my mind completely. At least I kind of came to my senses and stopped freaking out. I'm not saying it's necessarily a great thing. It probably isn't. But I'm freaking out a little less when I kind of stopped and thought about it, and it's this. When I asked you guys what company you thought would have bought this thing, everything you listed, at first anyway, was a gaming company.
Yeah.
So we got to, like, Apple, who doesn't really qualify. and maybe Google. Yeah, no one went outside that realm. And when you did go outside that realm, you still went to platforms that gaming was kind of a possibility. Although Facebook, I guess, kind of falls into that category, although it's lousy gaming. Mm. So here's the thing. I think that they actually see this as something that can be used outside the realm of gaming. And I agree with them. First of all, I think it's an outstanding tool for marketing. It can put you pretty much anywhere they want you to be. So I think that's kind of a feature they probably thought of. But more than that, I don't see why it's such a negative or a no when it comes to social media. I mean, we're using Skype right now. I mean, and admittedly, we're using the voice chat aspect of Skype. You can use the video aspect of Skype, and I can see you in the same room. We could put on those three headsets and all actually kind of feel like we are really in the same room.
Yeah, I mean, okay. When you put it that way, Eric, yeah. I mean, I could see your cool anime demon avatar, right? Like, because I don't really want to put on...
I'm kind of afraid it goes the Second Life route. I'll admit that.
Sorry, we did a crosstalk, so let me back up. So I can put on a virtual headset, right? And I can be in a room with your cool, like, anime demon avatar, right? Because the concept of being in a virtual space with somebody is cool, but, like, just being in there with your average real-world schlub doesn't excite me very much.
I love that word. But I agree with you, but see, then my fear comes back that this becomes, you know, a new form of Second Life, quote-unquote. And that kind of socialization. And I see it more where it's just kind of, I don't know how to put it, where it's just more accessible and more variety is available. I mean, couldn't you use this for a legal counsel? Couldn't you use it for doctors getting together for conferencing or for practicing procedures virtually? That's how I see it. And so when I thought about it that way, from just kind of a social media and even educational standpoint, the decision on their part kind of made a little bit more sense. And I wasn't totally opposed to it. And I wasn't totally opposed to it once I realized that Oculus Rift is not the only game in town anymore. I mean, Sony's doing their own, Valve's doing their own, everyone is under the assumption Microsoft is doing their own. These companies are not going to fail at the technology. These are companies that are heavily invested in technology, have some of the best minds working for them. Yes, Oculus Rift was a startup, and yes, the technology that they designed is astounding, all things considered, but they're not the only game in town. That said, I also don't see any opposition to Facebook licensing out the technology to whoever pretty much wants it, because that's what they do with half their stuff anyway, as long as they can put their brand on it and as long as they get your information in return.
Which is kind of a...
That's where the fear might come from.
Brian, I know you're really wild about your data being collected as you go about your day-to-day activities. What are your thoughts? Has Eric swayed you at all?
Yeah. Kind of. He's right. We were being a little myopic in the this is for gaming. That could be a very cool add-on for entertainment beyond gaming. And I was not considering that. I wish I could remember the movie. But along the lines of worrying about my information, I really am worried about someone like Facebook knowing exactly what I choose to look at, like eye tracking, like retina tracking my interest.
Yeah, the data collection and then the mining of that data by companies is a little scary.
You know, I don't think I'd be doing anything with the headset that I'd be too worried about. I mean, with the exception of the social media kind of maybe aspects, but that kind of stuff's already being done, so I guess I shouldn't fear it too much. The one thing I do fear, and I think we're kind of ignoring the elephant in the room on this one, especially when you're talking about virtual reality, someone's got to know where I'm going with this. No, okay.
Please, we're letting you...
Okay, and I'm not going to ignore it as a topic when talking about virtual reality. You just can't ignore it. And that's Porn.
Yes.
You can't ignore it. This is it will be the greatest porn device, I mean, ever devised. It will be, because that's pretty much what all new technology leads to. Like, whatever right. the latest technology is, like, you know, high-speed internet or something, that's become the greatest porn innovation of all time. If this is the next great technological innovation, it will eventually become the greatest porn innovation. It just will be.
I don't disagree, and of course I'm excited about that, but before that, now that I'm thinking of this more as a web technology, and even my way of thinking probably needs to evolve as these new technologies emerge, but now that I'm thinking about sort of an expansion of the web as I've known it, I'm thinking back to years past, to technological eras past, quote-unquote. Remember dialing into a BBS at all?
I do.
Okay, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Each one had its own personality, its own flavor. You were sort of entering someone's saloon or clubhouse. At least that's how I felt. You know what I mean? Not to say that from a presentation standpoint they varied all that much, you know, that radically, but did you also get that feeling?
You did. It was definitely someone's space, and I think because the tools were so limited in designing that space that people made the extra effort to really make it look like their own.
Right. Brian, do you kind of agree, see where I'm going with this so far?
Yeah, it was very homey.
Okay. Now, fast forward a few years. Well, I think fast forward is almost a passé term. The kids don't even know what that means anymore.
Yeah, skip a few chapters.
Right, right. Skip a few videos on YouTube forward, and next thing you know, you're at the explosion of personal homepages. Hey, you got a homepage? Check out my homepage. Everybody has a homepage. And I gotta say, surfing the internet and finding people's homepages was interesting because people really poured their hearts into these personal homepages, and things weren't really standardized. Like, so you would have like obnoxious like wallpapers and stuff, and like crazy little animated GIFs and sound and. It was kind of the Wild West of self-expression, and I think as services have kind of grown to consume everybody's sort of personal expression and presented in a uniform way, we've lost that. So I see if a virtual reality markup language or some sort of thing is out there that allows people to create their own spaces, we could be entering another era of, hey, surf the virtual net and check out my home space and we'll see what I've done here. How cool is this? It's sort of the promise of Second Life, except it might actually deliver.
It might. Yeah, exactly. You know what I thought of when you described that is, I don't know if you've seen the episode of Futurama where they're going to surf the internet and they actually put on the virtual reality headsets and the internet is just kind of like a world that they're in. And of course, there's like buildings and storefronts that are just all porn and that kind of stuff where it's literally like they're in the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where what I envisioned when you said that, too.
It's a real shame that some companies already ruined the MySpace name.
Yes. Actually, Facebook should buy MySpace to be used for these new virtual spaces you'll be able to create on their platform. The only problem is it's going to be their curated platform, isn't it?
Most likely. Again, though, I don't think that they're going to limit the technology. You know, Facebook is really good about trying to get kind of the web on board with what they're doing and integrate everyone else into them as if they're like the mother brain to this hive. That has really been their goal. And I'm not saying they did a bad job of it. I mean, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, they actually kind of have accomplished that. So the question really becomes, once this technology is out there, are they going to just kind of extend it to the rest of the world as long as they're the link? And that's kind of what I see, because why would they do that? They're not going to keep it privately to them. That's not what they do.
Well, they no, but
assimilate.
Right, but they'll want to be the standards body. They'll want to be the controlling entity, and they are still, I believe they are they a publicly held company at this point, or – regardless, they are a corporation answerable only to their investors. So there's the typical corporations are evil cautionary bit that I want to throw out there with regard to that.
There is that.
Brian, what do you think? Facebook sort of controlling the new virtual reality standard.
Well, I joke, but thinking back to MySpace, those were the last bastion of unique personal spaces that you were so fond of, and they were pretty much killed solely by Facebook, so...
You know, that's true, Brian, and you just sort of got me thinking. People's Facebook pages are very homogenous. I mean, they can put their own photos up, but Facebook, like, forces you into an experience. Like, this is what your Facebook page looks like. This is your homepage. This is your group page. This is your homepage. This is your fan page. This is your group. And this is the way it's going to look, more or less. And that's it. I remember MySpace having a lot more freestyle capability.
There was. You could choose music that automatically played, which was annoying. But honestly, I think the thing about MySpace is, I think there's such a thing, especially when it comes to technology, as too much freedom, and I know you don't hear that often, and I'll explain it. I don't mean there's too much freedom in the sense that you should be able to do these things, that you should be able to work with the technology that you've purchased, that you should be able to kind of even modify software as need be. I think once you buy something, it's pretty much yours to mess with, and I've always kind of argued that point. I'm saying it from a user standpoint. If you are making this a world that people are going to travel in and out of, see the spaces of other individuals and so on, you really want to make it an enjoyable experience as much as you can. And I don't mean enjoyable in the sense that every room is going to be something you love. I mean enjoyable in the sense of I don't enter the room and then all of a sudden my hand turns into a lobster claw and I can't figure out how to push the round button with my lobster claw and I get frustrated and turn the whole thing off, because that was MySpace 90% of the time. I would go onto a page, my mouse cursor would turn into like a happy face with sparkles, annoying music would be playing, the background would flash purple and green, and I would just be like, I don't know how to get out of this.
I think that... I understand the broad appeal, based on, especially on what you just said, of a predictable experience, but I kind of like that Wild West. I like to be able to leave the walled gardens and the gated community and get out there and do crazy stuff. And increasingly, and it might be because I'm not as adventurous as I used to be, I feel like I don't have those opportunities. I feel like the whole internet is becoming a series of gated communities.
Well, I think those opportunities and experiences will still be there. They just might not be there in the direct, whatever Facebook universe they create, obviously, because they're going to want to have some level of control. And I look at it the same way as kind of how everything on the internet is now. There's like, we all know that, I mean, especially the nerds of us know that there's kind of this, the internet can be broken into like this big, what we would call safe land, where these are the websites you're familiar with. We know these companies' names. We know this website's going to be fine. And then there's really bad neighborhoods, like really just shady, shady neighborhoods. And it's funny because that I go back to that Futurama episode when they're virtually in it and there's like an alleyway and some guy's selling like black market organs and like, you know, virtual copies of celebrities and that sort of thing. And I see that as what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to have the safe area and you're going to have, for those in the know, the kind of black market shady neighborhoods.
I hope you're right, Eric, but and I'll get Brian's opinion on this, too. I think the only reason those shady neighborhoods exist to the extent that they even do anymore on the internet, and I think they need to, for the record, is that there isn't a Facebook that controls the internet, per se. And if you've got Facebook basically being the virtual reality standard definer from the get-go, unless they are going to become content agnostic and be content just to maintain some sort of infrastructure or some sort of standards around data definition and that sort of thing, I don't think you'll see the CD neighborhoods develop in the way that I think they should. And Brian, what do you think about that? I know you were an early internet adopter and you used to tell me about all the crazy sites you visited back in the day.
Well, Eric is right that those people who are really in the know and those people who really want to find it, we'll find it no matter what you do. But I don't like the concept that most people aren't aware of it. I think we're creating an unfair class of user that's just willfully ignorant. And I'd like to see some shady areas be more accessible. Not just, this is your webpage, these are your dimensions, you may post this much, no more. If you have 160 characters to say, fuck you!
You know, here's the thing. I want to give you the dumbest argument I can give you why I do think there needs to be kind of a double standard, and there does need to be a kind of willfully ignorant community online, and like, I hate myself for saying it. I can feel myself just hating, the self-loathing is building as I say it, but there's a reason why it exists. And the reason why it exists is exactly this, for me. I don't want to have to explain to my mom how to fix her computer when she wanders into the wrong neighborhood. Because I'm already doing that with the basic internet. I went to my mom's house. She has literally like 15 toolbars on her browser, like to the point where the browser is like candy bar width at the bottom. And she thinks that's fine. Every time I go over there and I say, let me clean this up for you, she's like, no, I like my bars. I'm like, what are they for? I don't know. So my concern is that my mom is going to wander into the wrong place with this headset on, and I'm going to have to explain to her how to fix whatever disastrous thing she just wandered in on.
Coming from Florida, maybe we can put inviting sunny stickers on all of the safe exits so that tourists don't get shot.
Yeah, I find that kind of a unique thing. Is like, you know, in society, we make a point of really protecting the children. It's always protect the children from this, protect the children from that. But with the internet, the society varies, and it's really protect the ends of the spectrum. We protect the children, but we also want to protect the elderly because they don't know what they're doing. And again, when we protect the elderly, not for their benefit, but for our own, because we don't want to have to explain it.
I understand that to an extent. I guess I would rather there be a wild virtual world, and in that world, we create playgrounds for children and senior communities, than have a master plan community wherein there's a certain amount of open space for people to express themselves, and then everything else is, you know, kindergartens and senior communities.
Right. You wouldn't want your mom in the Wild West.
Right.
Your mom walking into a room all of a sudden and there's just pony play in there and she's trying to figure out why she went in there, because my mom likes horses. And if she went in a room labeled pony play, I would get a phone call immediately like, I don't understand this, Eric. Why are all these people pretending to be horses?
Well, your mom doesn't like horses enough.
Apparently. Yes. Right. She doesn't truly love horses.
Truly, though, wouldn't you rather have the Wild West? Like, I think with the internet, we had the Wild West and then it was tamed. What we're proposing here is a taming before anybody even gets there. So nobody ever sees the unspoiled land, so to speak. And what I can see arising out of this is maybe like an insurgent movement of open virtual reality. You know, nobody controls this. Don't let the Microsofts and Facebooks and Apples and Googles of the world tell you what to do. This is the seedy territory, man. Watch out. Be careful. As unseemly as that might seem, that's where really the best things happen in society, is at the margins in a lot of cases, you know?
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if Facebook does this, they're going to definitely set up some standardized, formatted universe that users will be able to build in, but just like current Facebook, they'll be able to build, let's say, within their parameters. You know, they have to build, you know, to a format. However, I mean, the bottom line is that the Oculus Rift, and we're taking this a little further than I think where it is right now, the Oculus Rift is bottom line still just a piece of hardware. All it requires is a driver. Anybody can make their universe. I mean, you could go to a website and they can just say, plug in your Oculus Rift now, make sure you have this driver installed, and then you can do whatever they are doing. And again, I know that sets up that doubled standard of those in the know and those that don't, but, you know, maybe it's up to those of us in the know to kind of let everyone else kind of know.
So did I hear you right? You are predicting them as being an agnostic standards definer?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are now, so I wouldn't be surprised if that continues to be the case.
But they're more than that. They're an agnostic standards definer with a catch. A catch that's transparent to most people who are not in the know. That catch being that, no, don't worry. Here's an electric line going to your house supplying power. Oh, no, we just gather all the data about what you power with this electricity. But no problem. Don't worry about it. Take our word for it. We're not up to no good.
You know, I've come to the realization that with these companies or without these companies, I'm not so sure our future can escape that. Oh, and I know that's a whole other philosophical discussion. And we can, you know, add into the literary elements of this, but I don't think there's any escaping that. I think with the advances in technology, data collection is inevitable. And we can say it's inevitable because it was happening before we even knew it was inevitable.
Yeah, but isn't it bad enough that we have the government that is at least in theory accountable, gathering all this data? Now we want Facebook. You know, if I'm in a virtual pony play room, next thing you know, I'm shamed publicly because I like to dress like a horse. I don't actually know what pony play is, so, and I'm not trying to be naive, so I don't really know if I want to know.
Oh, you need to Google that now. And for all our listeners, if you like ponies, I shouldn't say our listeners. I'm a guest. So your listeners should definitely Google pony play, especially if they're a big fan of horses.
You know what? Now that you recommended pony play to the audience, they're your listeners too.
We'll include a link.
You're like, don't pawn that off on me.
You're not getting away with that bit, Eric.
Yeah, I totally tried to just hand that over. Like, Nerdstravaganza proudly presents pony play.
Sorry, I tried to say bit. I was trying to do like a horse pun. My mistake.
Oh, yeah, I didn't chomp at that one at all.
All right, let's not beat this dead horse anymore. So I came into this episode thinking we were going to more or less discuss the Oculus Rift as an answer to Sony's Project Morpheus. But this big bombshell, at least for us, sort of put us in a new direction. Do we want to touch again on the gaming ramifications of these virtual reality technologies?
It's kind of hard to go back knowing what we know now.
I know.
It's really hard.
I like what this became.
You know, and let me add to that, since we're going to go the gaming route, and, you know, Sony has their PlayStation 4 and their camera, and Microsoft's got theirs with their fancier camera. And, you know, when these things launched, everyone was concerned that those were going to be used for data collection. That
yes.
What games we like and don't like was going to be used for data collection. But no one seems to be bothered with the fact that everyone's going to be putting a console headset on their face. The same way we're all of a sudden bothered when we're told it's Facebook.
Wait, let's not say nobody's going to be bothered now. Okay.
But I just haven't heard that. Like, everyone freaked out when it was Facebook. No one seemed to be bothered when Sony was announcing their headset.
I don't think Sony has publicly stated that the headset or that the input devices are going to be tools for gathering marketing data. Brian, you were one of the people that was fairly outraged by Microsoft so cavalierly announcing.
Patenting the idea, officially declaring patents on, we're going to steal your data.
Yes.
Market it. Yeah, they were kind of ballsy about that. I'm sure there's a healthy degree of marketing. You can't avoid that. And, you know, I understand when I search for something on Amazon and they say, maybe you'll like this too. That's kind of cool. But I think there is a limit. And I'm much more comfortable putting the Google goggles or whatever technology of the day will be on in a somewhat more controlled. Yeah, you can know I play this game because I'm comfortable with that, as opposed to needing it to, look for a job these days. I mean, everyone has to have that cleansed Facebook account that they let the boss know about.
Ugh, terrible. Yeah, I gotta say, this has got me thinking a lot about the internet in general and what I always imagined the virtual reality future would be. I always thought of it in terms of freedom. This is a world I can explore and do anything I want, however I want, and nobody can stop me. But no, I'm going to be tethered first and foremost to this marketing beast that's going to want to know my habits and track my eye movements and determine exactly what kind of toast I like. Okay, that's annoying. But then on top of it, it's no big deal when the president calls and, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, like, hey, give me the eye tracking movement for Tom, just because, you know, I feel like knowing. And that, it creeps me out. I wanted the virtual reality space to be somewhere we could escape into, to escape the real world, not somewhere where we could further be poked and prodded for the benefit of marketers and government snoops.
Now, if you want to get really creepy, don't worry about the eye tracking. Worry about the fact that your iris and your retina
are unique.
Are you not only unique, so they could identify you as a person, but also have genetic tie-ins, because even eye color and other characteristics can be not only sex-linked, but can be identified as belonging to a particular race, creed, ethnicity. So if you're going to, you know, like I always make the joke, and it's kind of true, that, you know, I do tend to get stopped more than most of my friends at the airport because I've got a beard. And really, I think that's the only qualification that apparently you need to get dubbed or deemed the random bag check guy. Because I've been to the airport 7 times, and I've been the random bag check at least 3 of those 7 in recent years. So if you're going to kind of pigeonhole me because I have a beard, what are you going to do if you can look right into my eye? And this is, I mean, conspiracy level crap, and I usually don't go this route, but I find it kind of entertaining. What are you going to do when you can kind of exactly pinpoint my ethnicity by simply looking in my eye?
Well, Eric, I am going to market to you a bagel and some schmear.
Exactly, and that's all I'd want. And for the record, if that's how they use that technology, I am on board as soon as they invent smell and taste-o-vision to go with my headset.
So, again, maybe a little bit annoying to have someone marketing to you based on your ethnicity.
And I want to point out, because your audience doesn't know me that well, and you do, I am always the last guy to be the conspiracy theory guy. I'm literally just – there's. I don't think any of us was going to be devil's advocate on that one, so I decided to throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you are playing a great devil's advocate because, yeah, it's one thing to market to somebody based on their eye color. It's another to, you know, I don't know. Geez, you know, I kind of don't like people with irises of this particular configuration and eye
color.
Yeah,
right. That's a whole other level. But, even from a marketing standpoint, I mean, I think I'd be a little, I guess, insulted to an extent if they marketed directly to my ethnicity.
I am dying laughing because as someone who has used paid advertising for this podcast, I'm just imagining the checkout. Do you want like brown eyes, blue eyes, and the weird little like what groups do you want to nerds, sports fanatics, Jews.
Well, that's my point. Until you really start navigating, all they're gonna have to go on is what you are. Like, you know, they can't read your mind to determine what you like. So if they're marketing from the start of you putting this thing on your face, which, by the way, a lot of companies do simply based on how you fill out your profile, let's say for Google, because they don't know what you click on yet until you start using that profile. They begin marketing to you based solely on that criteria.
Right. That's all they have in the way of information, not what you volunteered.
Exactly.
But I don't mind volunteering, like going through an act of volunteering information. This is like them looking and seeing, you know, what percentage Italian I am, or, you know, I don't like that. And I got it, man, this is such a radical departure from what I thought VR was. I have to say that again. You started off the episode, Eric, talking about, you know, the old virtual reality centers. And I remember VR being a very exciting prospect back then and playing like, for example, Sega's virtual racing, which wasn't really VR, it was just 3D, but I was like, oh, wow, we're like just the goggle shy of being like in this racetrack. But I never thought we would be wired or connected back to a home base that would be reading our data. Like gaming wasn't even like that back then, so I just thought I'd plug in my cartridge, put on my VR goggles, and I'd go in.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any escaping it now. I mean, what would you honestly do? I mean, unless you bought a game on disc for one of the newer consoles and unplugged yourself from the internet, which who knows if the game would even work or you'd get the most out of it that way. I mean, yeah, you'd get the single player experiences that maybe you were expecting back in the late 90s. But you'd have to draw your line there. You really would.
Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I think Tom answered that for us earlier when he said he wanted to play Titanfall but couldn't.
Yes.
Right, right.
Truly,
the system is down.
Yes.
For you.
I think there's a potential revolution coming. And, of course, I don't mean an armed revolution with blood and death. I think that you're going to see an insurgency, as I said, that's going to emerge against this level of control. I want to be online. I want to interact. And I don't want anybody to know about it unless I want them to know about it. And you already see something like that. I don't know if you're familiar. There's this thing called the Tor browser, which yes. basically completely anonymizes and randomizes your internet traffic such that nobody can really track you. I don't use it, but I like that it's there. I like that I could use it if I needed to, at least in theory, to circumvent these control measures. Because I just hate that they exist, and it's even more onerous to think that they're going to exist in my dream virtual reality world, where I always, as I mentioned before, thought I could just be Superman and fly around and nobody would bug me.
Well, and I would assume you could still do that if you just, you know.
Right. As long as I sign into my Facebook profile and, like, buy right. the Superman app and Mark Zuckerberg knows exactly which way my cape flaps and what color my cape is and what buildings I landed on. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, unless you could go to GameStop and buy Super Flight Boy and bring it home and unplug your console and then fly around an endless world of nothing.
Right. With nobody else.
Right. Then you could do that.
Right. So, but the insurgency that I'm pointing to will propose that I should be able to fly around in a world with a bunch of other people, and that should be the extent of it. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I sort of like there's a software to remove DRM from the things that you purchase.
Yes.
There's got to be a way to remove these control measures and these marketing opportunities and these data tracking leashes from the networked existence and, by extension, the virtual reality existence that we're all going to find ourselves in a few years.
Look, I've seen Die Hard 4, so I know there are ways to do this with your cell phone and other means where you can just hack into the FBI and change traffic lights on a whim, so why couldn't you do that? I mean, if they're doing that with Nokia phones, then yeah, you could probably do it, right? That's how that works. Or yes. In the virtual world, like we discussed, you go down some tunnels, you turn some knobs, you know, you fly through the tunnel, you come across a gate with a laughing skull, you go back the other
right.
way. Yeah, you get the idea.
That's what I'm going to, in my wake, I want to leave a trail of laughing skulls. So anybody trying to track my movements will just be met with laughing skulls. Like, you can't get near me, ha, 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 ha. Brian, you understand what we're saying by laughing skulls? Like, that's my way of covering my tracks.
Yeah, World of Warcraft had that. You like pay like $2.99, and instead of footprints, you just leave laughing skulls.
I'm pretty sure that purchase was tracked, by the way. When you purchased the $2.99 laughing skulls, that was tracked, and then later on it was like, if you like laughing skulls, you'll just love a kneecap that tells jokes.
You'll love nothing more than the Newman from Jurassic Park. Yes.
I knew that was coming at some point, too.
Of course.
Do I even have to get into the Independence Day computer virus? Like I said, if you can get the Apple computer to hack into the alien computer while flying a ship you've never flown before, then, yeah, I don't see why you can't do these things you want to do, Tom.
I'm going to save that. It drives me nuts, but I'm going to save that. We're going to do a Independence Day episode one of these days, and I'm going to lay a bomb on you.
Wow, yeah. Brian was, in addition to an early internet adopter, a very early proponent of the Mac computer, so an Apple technology. So he knows a lot of stuff that your average person doesn't know about just what could be done with an Apple computer during that era.
During that era, and I'm not arguing that point. I'm simply saying, well, I don't want to get too far into it because we're doing, you know, if you were planning on doing an episode, I want in on it because it's one of my favorite topics because it is, as far as I'm concerned, the worst movie ever made. But that particular thing is, here's the thing. You could say, oh, it could do a lot of hacking. I mean, but we don't even know if they wrote in binary.
Okay, all right, yes. We don't, and this is way, way, way off the beaten trail. So
yeah, I know it is. I'm sorry.
Look for our upcoming in-depth analysis and critique of the masterpiece that is Independence Day in an upcoming episode. But let's take this back onto the virtual track and work towards a wrapping up of this episode. I think we're entering the next phase of the internet with this virtual reality stuff. And this Facebook announcement has really got me thinking that way, whereas before I was just thinking about intrusive gaming peripherals. Now I'm thinking about intrusive lifestyle peripherals. So it's changed my thinking for sure.
Yeah, it's literally one little news blip that probably no one should really be freaking out about. And it drastically changed the whole course of conversation.
Without a doubt. Brian, you think we're back in like 1995 again, man? Like awesome new world?
Sure.
I'm still excited about the whole technology. I really am. I mean, and I think it's just because it's like it's been 20 years and finally it's like, oh, is it finally going to come to fruition? Because they gave us a taste of it 20 years ago and then they said, eh.
We're just not there yet. We need a way to actually make this profitable by completely monetizing your every fart. So until we can do that, we're putting it back on the shelf. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this did change the conversation. Also, yeah, some gaming systems are going to have VR devices. Whoopee. I think that more or less sums up this episode, unless you guys have any final thoughts.
Between the two, you know, factors that this was based on, between the fact that we were, you know, at least some of us were excited about, you know, VR technology kind of making a big revival, and not even a revival, but kind of a next step, finally, and then the Facebook bomb, I don't even know where you go in the conversation from here, so I gotta say that's gotta be the last thought. Where else do you go?
Nowhere. I mean, we could stay online talking about this all night as new ideas pop into our head, but I've got nothing else, man. I'm a little shell-shocked by the announcement. I'm really glad I didn't hear about it until this episode. Brian, you likewise shell-shocked?
Yeah, I think that was a great, like, reaction shot.
Absolutely. So there you have it, folks. Our unvarnished reactions to the bombshell that Oculus Rift will be purchased by Facebook for some $2 billion. Boy, do we need to get into another line of work. I'm just going to point that out. Nobody's going to buy our podcast for $2 billion. But here's what you can get for much less than $2 billion, listeners. An amazing weekly podcast experience with the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. And you can get that simply by subscribing to us in iTunes or your favorite podcatching software, where we hope you will write us a virtually perfect review, give us maximum stars, etc. And also feel free to check us out on the excellent streaming service known as Stitcher.
Use your eyeballs instead of your mouse to navigate over towards Facebook, where you can like us and join the Insiders private group for further discussion of the episodes. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, where we recently passed our 200th fan. And plus one us on Google Plus.
And of course, feel free to share your thoughts and insights with us at our email address, which is nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. And check out our website, nerdstravaganza.com. And with all that said, and until next time,
we are VR.